swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer. When I reach the other side, and his smile will be the first to welcome me. 364 and we'll stand and sing, please. myself every week. So I'll be very happy, Brother Swanson, if you'd just lead us to the throne of grace and ask God's blessing on this gathering.
Our Father, with humble hearts, we draw near into thy presence now, in the deep sense of thy majesty, of thy holiness, of thy greatness. Thou art a great God, and greatly to be feared. We thank thee, O Father, that although thou art the high and holy one that inhabited in eternity, we know in thy sovereign grace it pleases thee to bear with him that have a broken and contrite spirit. And we thank thee that thou hast made revelation of thyself in such a way as we've been brought to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And this knowledge, this relationship with thyself, has brought us near to thee without terror, although our hearts are filled with the reverential fear of thee. We thank thee for thy great salvation, for him who has brought it to us, and who has opened up the way into thy presence and the access into this grace wherein we stand, that tonight we're privileged to lift our voice and heart and say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We pray now that as we are yet together and thy word will be opened, that our spirits may be quickened as we hear the word read. We thank thee for the precious scripture of truth. We thank thee for this treasury. For in thy word, all that pertains unto life and godliness is given to us. Counsel, instruction, direction, comfort, strength, support, and hope. And we thank thee for all that thy word means to us, to our thy people. We pray that we might esteem it more than our necessary food, that we may be lovers of the word, that we might be students of the scriptures, not merely for head knowledge, but that we may be doers of the same. We pray that thy word, O God, might have its practical effect upon our life to produce holiness, obedience, zeal, and love, so that day by day, as guided by the scriptures, we might learn how to please thee. We pray now that thou look upon this council of thy people, and wilt thou meet the need of every one of us. From the rich treasury of the scriptures, bring to us, we pray thee, just the needed message. And help us, Lord, that we might attend to what we hear. Healthy Christian life can only be based upon sound, healthy truth and teaching. And we need today, amidst the dangers of our present time, to be preserved and to be guarded and protected by the counsel of the scriptures. Not only young ones, but we older ones too. We need the protection of thy word in those days, for evil days can come upon any of us, thy people. None of us should take any pride in ourselves. We are so prone to falter and to fail. But tonight, Lord, strengthen, we pray thee. Each one of us has thy servant to open the scriptures and give us the message he has been meditating upon. And grant that at the end there may be profits for one and all. Remember those who are not privileged to be with us tonight, some through reason of old age and frailty of body. It's not privileged to meet for the saints as they will want to do. In our hearts are here. And then somebody be sick and laid aside, we pray that through any ailment that hinders them from meeting tonight, that thou wilt be graciously pleased to heal. And if perchance there might be some of the company who are cold in heart and backslidden, and this is a danger that faces thy people in every place, we pray that thou revive and restore those who may be losing heart or wandering out of the way. These are supplications we present to thee now and seek thy blessing upon this service. We ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you. Now, shall we read together in Acts chapter 8, please? Acts chapter 8, chapter. Acts chapter 8, chapter, and we'll commence to read in verse 26. Acts chapter 8, and verse 26. That the angel of the Lord speak unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is Dedar. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near, and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The voice of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself, or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing, but Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. The Lord will bless to us the reading of his precious word. Now it's very nice to see you all here tonight. I do trust that we will really enjoy this meeting, and it will be some encouragement to each of us as the Lord opens up the scriptures to us. We will not forget that tomorrow we hope to be along at the conference to encourage our brethren and sisters in Scalloway, And I see by a paper it says visiting preachers will be there. Who they are, I don't know, but will be there anyway, according to the advert. Then we'll be back again on Sunday, God willing, for the morning gathering together, the Sunday school, then our ministry meeting at 3:15, and again at the gospel meeting at 6:15. The gospel meeting is preceded by a prayer meeting at 5:45. Now, if we can see you at these meetings, we'll be very, very happy. I was a young fellow when I started to preach, at least a young Christian, I should say, when I started to preach. When I got a tent to start off with, I said, "Don't you come to this meeting and leave your own." Of course, the folks all thought this was a kind of strange thing. But I'm still convinced, too, that a man's chief place is his own meeting. I wouldn't sit in another meeting as long as my own was on. So we hope that we'll get out of the old style of shouting and bawling about it, but practicing it. We'll be very glad to see you on Sunday evening, and we'll be very, very happy to see you. Now, next week again, we need your prayers. Let me say very emphatically, we do need your prayers. Now, this is the third time I've been here for boys and girls meeting. And as far as my memory serves me, and it's not too bad in some things, I never had better meetings. I may have had a few more children, but I never had as high age average. And I never had as quiet an audience. We're quite sure that the Lord is blessing somewhere. We'd covet your prayers, we'd plead for your prayers that God would come in and bless and reach some of these boys and girls for the Saviour. Not because David Hogg is here, but because their life is precious to him. So next week, every night, we'll be back on Wednesday. First part will be prayer again, then ministry. Then next Friday, God willing, we'll be back to the ministry meeting. Now let us sing together hymn number 317. 317. Blessed is the service of our Lord and King. Precious are the jewels we may help to bring. Down the parting ages, words of counsel ring. He that winneth souls is wise. 317, please. here and some of the nights that I've been speaking since I've come last Friday, know full well that I've been speaking in the Acts of the Apostles. The first and the second lecture we had, or talk, or however you like to term it, we tried to show the marks of a New Testament church. The marks being very evident in Acts chapter 2 and in the chapters following on. Perhaps different marks than some have thought. Perhaps marks that some had never dreamed of, but they're there nevertheless, as I pointed my finger to the verse. I'd like you to read it for yourself and made it clear that that seemed to be the mark of a New Testament church. We pointed out, first of all, a fullness of the Spirit was very evident, and a loss of power was conclusively the lack of spirituality and spirit power. Then we went on to prove in some little measure that the preaching has something to do with it. That milk and water preaching never produced strong converts. That preaching with an object of preaching was not preaching according to the New Testament church. But the preaching that the New Testament saints preached was plain, powerful, pointed, straight to the heart, without any dubiety about it. And the apostle coming up at the rear telling us, the word, the gospel came not unto you in word only, but in power, in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. Then, of course, we saw very distinctly on another night that what was very, very evident was the fact of the praying of the church. The praying of the church. Well, tonight we're just going to touch two things, and this will be the last in this series of this lectures, or whatever you would term them, on the Acts. We're just going to take three simple things that seem to me to be very evident in a New Testament church, as it is recorded in the Acts of the Apostles. First of all, we're going to speak about personal soul winning. Personal soul winning. Secondly, we're going to speak about purity. Last but not least, we're going to speak about privilege. Privilege. Now, you'll understand that the church is the organism that goes out with the gospel of the grace of God to all and sundry. That doesn't mean that this is the only place that the gospel can be preached from a gospel platform. That doesn't mean to say that you are excluded because you're not a gospel preacher. Because the word in the Acts of the Apostles doesn't mean what we think very often. The word in the Acts of the Apostles is gossip the gospel. My girl was 5 years of age, the oldest girl, and went to school. She was only a week or two in school when she gossiped the gospel to the girl next to her and had the two of them down together behind her seat when the teacher came in. Gossip the gospel. Don't leave it to the preacher. Because after all said and done, he's not the yea and the amen of any meeting. But you'll understand that personal soul winning is the outstanding feature of the New Testament church. Where did he get it from anyway? Well, of course, the 12 disciples and those who were of kindred spirit that followed the Lord Jesus about discovered that he was the personal soul winner. If you turn to the Gospel by John, you'll find in the first chapter personal soul winning by the Savior. I might meet her and lead her into the joy of the gift of God.
First chapter,
the man and the fool. Eighth chapter, the woman with the accusing man. The ninth chapter, the blind man. Why, they just watched the Savior, that was all they did. And they got a grasp of the fact that he put great emphasis on the individual. That's just exactly what the New Testament church is all about. When the apostles come to listen to what the Savior had to teach, he takes them to Luke chapter 15, and he says, a man has 100 sheep, but he's put the emphasis on the one. The woman had 10 pieces of silver, but he put the emphasis on the one. And the man had 2 sons, but he put the emphasis on the one. Oh, you say, that's all very good. We know that. We've heard all that before. Well, that's quite true. You have heard it before. What have you done about it? What have you done about it? In the first chapter of John, we find that 2 disciples follow him. And these 2 disciples, of course, come back again, and what did they do? Andrew finds out his own brother and introduced him to Jesus Christ. That personal soul winning. Philip finds us Nathaniel, pointed out the obstacles that he had, and he took him to Jesus, and before he said a word, Jesus spoke to him. What is that? Personal soul winning. Is this not what the early church did? When Peter and John at the 3rd chapter of the Acts went up to the temple at the hour of prayer, a man, not a crowd, not a day of Pentecost, a man. That man absorbed their time and attention. And Peter gave him all he had. The result, a man went to the temple, walking, weeping, praising God. That's quite clear. Oh, you're just giving us a whole lot of stuff that we know. Well, that's all I intend to do. Because if you've come to hear fantastic stories, you'll never hear them through these lips if I can help it. Let us go to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. Now listen. Peter stands up to preach with the 11, as I told you the other night. 3,000 souls were saved. My, what a thrill. But who was there? Who was there? Andrew was there. As he saw and heard Peter preach, how his heart rose in praise and thanksgiving. When he saw 3,000 come to the Savior, oh, how thankful he was that he sought for Peter and brought him to Jesus. Yes, it was personal soul winning. Oh, we've got our eye on 3,000. Yeah, the church has the eye on the individual. And of course, that's just what we should be. When you look in John chapter 4, what do you see? Jesus with a passion for one. What does he say? He must needs go through Samaria. He didn't have to, you know. But as the Apostle Paul expresses it in another place, necessity was laid upon him, for he knew he was going to meet that woman, and he went well out of his way to meet her. Was it worth it? All this trouble for one? Who said what? Who said what? Well, that was all he meant in the world. And he gave her the gift of God, living water. When the disciples came back, this woman you're talking to, the Lord Jesus looked past them and he saw the crowd coming. That woman went right into the city. Come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? When the men come, they believed for the words that the woman had spoken. One? Yes, Andra, you just led one. He brought 3,000 of his first servants. Yes, Lord, you only got one, a woman at the well. She brought that company of men right out. Is that all? Well, Luke doesn't say so. On the 8th chapter, when Philip went down to Samaria, there was multitudes. Where? The woman first. The man had gossiped what they had seen in her. They experienced their time, and the place was right for the mind. And what if Philip was the means that God used to bring it in? What? Yes, it's all important one. I haven't read very much outside the scriptures, but I have read of a Sunday school teacher that had a few young fellows, not very old. Why, he was troubled about their conversion, and he set about getting them one at a time. There was one fellow that he set his heart on. This fellow got a job with his uncle, and he was working on a Saturday afternoon in the back of a shoe shop. The Sunday school teacher walked along to the shoe shop on a Saturday afternoon. He found his scholar busy at work. Then he commenced to speak to him. That scholar accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior behind the shoe shop. Why, well, I had a friend when he was here for this called R.D. Johnston. R.D. Johnston wrote a book. And what was the title of his book? The Man Who Moved Two Continents. Who was the man? Boy that knelt behind the shoe shop on the floor at a chair and received Jesus Christ, D.L. Moody. One? We've got a huge TED Hall. We've got a huge Christian Institute. We've got a George's Cross Tabernacle. We've got a Bethany Hall. We've got an Evangelistic Association. All in Glasgow. just a boy, is he? Just a kid in the Sunday school, is he? I've never preached to only a boy in my life. I've never preached to only a girl and another teacher. Who did I preach to? I preach to an eternal being. That he is going to live a life to the glory of God and be rejoicing with Christ in heaven. I'm going to preach to a being that's going to live a wasted life on earth and spend eternity in hell. Why do I crave your prayers? I do it with eternal beings that have dependent on me, showing them a way of salvation. One night after a meeting, a boy of 7 months old. He was all excited and all annoyed, and his folks couldn't understand it. Went to his bed, was up in the morning and couldn't take his breakfast. Went to school and the teacher saw there was something wrong. What's wrong, Paul? Nothing, nothing. She just left him. Home for his dinner. After he went home for his dinner for a while, his mother says, Tom, you haven't eaten your dinner yet. What's wrong? Nothing, nothing. Shortly after, he up from the chair and into the room. She went and listened at the door. What? Mr. Holland says that if I let Jesus Christ into my heart, he'll save me. She said, Lord, I want Jesus to take this heart of mine and cleanse it from sin and come in and live. And he did. He came out. He was all smiles. And I said, Tom, what were you doing in there? Giving him the chance of open confession. Why, I was doing what Mr. Hawk told me to do. Got up his dinner, that means he took it very quickly for a little time. The boys and girls marched into the class and took their seats, and Tom walked to the very front. Teacher come in and looked at the boys and girls were all in their place in the class. Tom, what's wrong, son? Please, miss, I was home at dinner time. Mr. Hobbs is having meeting in our hall, said if I would open my heart, I would trust the Lord Jesus and I would be saved. And I was home at dinner time. And I opened my heart and I received Jesus as my Savior. I'm saved. Walked to his seat. Where is he? Portugal. A missionary. What? 1,000 times no. Why is it? Why is it that the Bible is so full of certain truths that we don't look at? And some of the things that we might defy the mountain heights are seldom mentioned. Proverbs 11 and 30. He that winneth souls is wise. Doesn't say he's educated. Doesn't say he's fluent. Doesn't say he's rich. Doesn't say he's handsome. Doesn't say he's a preacher. Wise. Wise. I'm glad he said wise, for I'm none of the others. What does Daniel say? have many to righteousness, shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. They that come many to righteousness as a star forever and ever. That's not preaching. That's not preaching. That's so worrying. So worrying. Very briefly, I'm going to tell you three reasons why you don't win souls. Why? Well, first of all, soul winning is an art. An art. He that winneth souls is wise. As far as I can gather, this word carries a tremendous thing behind it. Oh, it means snaring a bird. It means catching a fish. It means winning a city. The whole string of other things. It means winning a bride. What's the first thing? Well, of course, if you're going to win souls in the sense of going to win a city, and you're going to join the military. What's the military for? A pastime? Physical fitness? Show off a uniform? Oh no. Meant for soldiers for warfare. The Old Testament is full of men taking a city. One or two things just in a passing and quickly and briefly at that. What's the first thing? Courage! Courage! Gideon! Well, you know, you've got 32,000 marks help with you. We're all going to the war, you know, we're all going to the war. Already armed for the fight. Ah, but Gideon had other communications. Mary! If you'll please the whole! 22,000. That's no war for me. Next day. All these fellows are not so bad that day. We'll have to give them a test. Laugh, but did not kneel. Who, the 10,000? No, the 300. The other fellow was doing gross in his own comfort. No eye for the enemy while he was indulging. The other fellow, while his eye was there, his weapon was there. 300 men. You want to be a soul winner? You have to bring your backbone to the front. It's going to take courage. It's going to do another thing. It's going to take patience. Oh yes, I know. I know that I've spoken to people for the first time and have come to the Saviour. And I've preached to people a long while and spoken to friends many times. I'm not there yet. Patience. Don't forget George Mueller. Going into New York, a flop funky right down, as most of us have heard of, if never read it. Mr. Moore, you'll never be there. Mr. Moore says, God sent and has sent me to be in that meeting and I'll over there. Captain, come down. Captain, come down and pray. You never think there's been a fog at all when he sailed down and he stood on the platform. He died after years of faith for three people. He never saw them saved. But they were saved after. Patience. city one way, you can't take the second city the same way. You've got to use your wisdom under the circumstances and conditions. Does God know anything about that? Well, I think so. Let's get down to this Samaria place. Vile multitudes baptized, converted into the church. Philip. Oh, I'm leading this revival. I'm a preacher here doing all this marvelous preaching. Oh no. Way down. Samaria, a desert. Spirit said, glue yourself to this giant. Glue! Philip ran. He didn't walk. He ran. What was wrong? Nothing. God was right. You see, a man that can handle a crowd, a big crowd, 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000 getting saved and can keep his head is a good one. That was with preaching. So I'll come down to this man. It's really my dear. Understandest thou what thou readest? Discerned immediately if he was going to reach this man, it was through his understanding. And he opened to him the scriptures and produced Christ from the Old Testament, and I'm sure he put the cross there very clearly. He didn't keep pasting them and turning this and battering that the other way. May we preach unto him, Jesus, said the Holy Spirit. What does hinder me to be baptized? Well, you know, if you wait for another 2 or 3 weeks till we test you and see how strong your faith is, if we see you're really converted, then it'll be all right. That's not what that faith says. Chariots up, two of them went down, no. If thou believest with all thine heart, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Stop the giant, that's enough. They baptized him. Spirit of God took him away. Man can be trusted with such a gigantic task as Samaria. The very man that's got the patience to walk 65 miles in blustering heat of the sun, the sand of the desert, and slip behind a hedge to meet one. You think it well worth his while for all he did? The Spirit of God took him. I was found at Azotus, preaching the same gospel. You got it? Courage. Wisdom. Patience. What's the second one? Well, of course, when you come to the second, better watch what I'm saying here, because it's catching fish. I'm just a real Glasgow boy, you know, Glasgow born and Glasgow bred. I don't know much about any other city but that one. Our fish all comes through the fish shop and into the fish pan and the fish and chip shop. How does it get there? By men sitting at the fire reading books, filling their heads and their hearts with knowledge of every description. You have wherewith among fishermen. Therefore, how you catch fish? No. It's going out into all all kind of weather. You don't look at the sun and say, it might get wet today. You don't look at the sea and say, oh, it's choppy, I don't think we'll go out today. All kind of weather. Then when you get out, what do? Sing hymns and clap your hands. Hard work. Oh, your wedding, I'm telling you again. Brother said a word to me once ago. Don't you say anything about me, brother. For I know that I worked at them. All honor to you. You work hard, don't you? You're not there for fun. Not there to pass the time. You're not there to show off your ability. You're there to catch fish. And it doesn't matter whether it's bucket rain or sunshine, whether it's in the middle of the night or whether it's conditions that I would say be better to hold. You work and you catch. Who's the last in all the world you think would trust the Saviour? Who's the very last? That's the man to go after. That's it. That's the man to go after. I must go to the third one. All seasons in and out, seasons for the fisherman, hard work can keep at it. Yeah. I know we've got to go to the next one. Winning a bride. What does this mean? Ah, well, you see, this is affection that you're after now. This takes more than just wisdom. This takes affection in your own heart. You the man. Abraham called him and said, you get away and get a bride for my son Isaac. He goes to the place. What else? He's down before the Lord. He says, Lord, this is not a special task. This is an impossible task for me. But you can guide me to the right person at the right time, and you can give me the right time.
Knowledge of the scripture that you could carry to heaven.
thee to kick against the goat. Who art thou, Lord? And he says, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. What? What wilt thou have me to do? It's his will. His will. If you're going to take a city, you're going to have a will. And you're going to have a will to do it. When you come to Lydia, what have you got in Lydia? Well, of course, you've got a woman called Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened. That's not the will, you know. That's not wisdom. That's affection. That's what you've got to do. You're going to win one. You've got to get the will broken down to another. You've got to get into the heart affection. 16th chapter tells. And at midnight there was a great earthquake. And Jehovah comes flying in and drops before him. Servants, what must I do to be saved? He's a man in conviction. He's a man shaken out of himself into deep conviction. Calm yourself, son. Let's discuss this one. Don't be so much in a hurry. Don't forget the spirit-filled man is in the prison. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And he believed. One. He went to his house. They all believed. All baptized. Is that quite clear now? It seems as clear as I can make it anyway. Just the last thing. The privilege. I won't touch the purity, but I'll touch the privilege. What's the privilege? Now the Apostle Paul tells us one outstanding privilege. What is that? I must know him. The power of his resurrection. Is that all? Oh no. The fellowship of his sufferings. Being made conformable unto his death. Like the glory. Like the honor. We like the praise. We like to talk about the fellowship. What about the sufferings and conformity to his death? Privilege. Of course you'll know in John chapter 5 when the disciples let go, they rejoiced. That they were counting worthy to suffer for his name. Rejoice. A joyful experience. Oh, not the suffering. But for the person it was worth it all a thousand times over. What else? Colossians chapter 3. Whatsoever thou doest, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Why? For ye serve the Lord Christ. What play of preaching with that in view? Not be chicken hearted when it comes to speaking to someone, giving them your testimony with that in view. Apostle Paul comes to the Thessalonians and writes to that young church. He comes to his second chapter. Oh, John! Lord Christ, whose call in 1 Corinthians 3 tells us there's a day coming. What is that for? Every man's work is going to be put through the test of fire. All my sham will all be burned up. All my fleshly energy will just be burnt to a cinder. All my heart passionate preaching, all my giving with deep sincerity, whether it's financially or otherwise, all the gold, silver, and precious stones. The Apostle Paul makes it doubly secure as he points out the fact that in that day he will not be ashamed before him. Jesus, count for yourself. Don't leave it to anybody else, but count for yourself in the Gospels. 19 times over he spoke to an individual. Count them up for yourself. If you're going to do anything, you're not going to be wait till somebody shoehorns it into you. Baits us to get on with it, pushes us to try and do it. We're going to do anything, we're going to do it with all our heart. Great holy man called Samuel Rutherford, what did he say? If but one soul from under meet me at God's right hand, my humble be to him. In Emmanuel's land. Have you any there? Let's pray. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, we do thank thee and praise thee tonight for thy precious word. Cry from the depths of our heart that thou makest tremble at thy word. That it won't be water spilt in the dry ground, that it will be swallowed up. That it will be like what the psalmist said, I love thy law. I meditate day and night. Thy word have I hidden my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Need was our God to be true in all we do, in view of the judgment seat of Christ. And our work will be tried with fire. Gaze upon him who loved us, and gave himself and gave his uttermost, that we might be saved and walk worthy and certain in love and affection. Take us to our homes or places of abode in safety. Give thee all the praise and the glory for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's take 221, please. 221, please. Our souls are in God's mighty hand. We are precious in His sight. You and I shall surely stand with Him in glory by Christ. 221, please. term of a fisherman's tune. Let's sing it, shall we? Stand.
Samuel chapter 8.